your pastor if you're visiting here today, and I just want to welcome you and encourage you that if you're looking for a church home, this is, I think, is a great place to be. God is here, and we love to study His Word, and we're going to do that in just a moment, and I do certainly want to say hello to all of our locations, CBC Oak Ridge, the Video Cafe, and we have Hispanic Ministry across the street, and so God is doing some great things in our community. It's a joy to be part of. You know, they say that you can sell just about anything on eBay. Do you believe that? I guess I start to believe that when I read stories of individuals like Dan Baber, whom you've never heard of, but several years ago, he put a special auction on eBay, and it was entitled, The Best Mother in the World. Now, don't fear, he wasn't going to auction off his mother. He was promising that the winner of the auction would receive a personal email from his mother that would make the winner feel like the most special person on earth, because that's how she would make him feel. So he sets up this online auction, and of course, these things last around a week. And when it was all said and done, 42,711 people stopped to take a look. 92 people made a bid. The starting bid was $1, and it cashed out at $610. That's pretty good. Ladies, listen to me. If you need a little extra cash, see me after the service. I have an eBay account. I'll help you start turning those hugs and cookies and cards that you so generously give. We'll find a way to make sure you're properly compensated, okay? It's amazing to think that somebody would pay so much money for something that moms love to do and give for free, right? And that's what makes them so special. That's what makes parents so special, because mom and dad both serve and sacrifice and give of themselves so much, all with such little expectation of return, right? And that's what makes them so wonderful and honorable. And today, of course, as we continue our series, The Big Ten, on the Ten Commandments, we're going to talk about the fifth commandment today, which tells us to honor our father and our mother. So if you would, please take out your Bible and stand with me so that we can read God's Word together. And I want us to go right back to the very beginning of Exodus chapter 20, and we'll read from verse 1 all the way through where we are today in verse 12. Exodus chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. And for today, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. Amen? Please be seated. So the fifth commandment obviously begins a whole new series of commandments that are about human relationships. In fact, over here on our tablets, you'll see that tablet one is all about our relationship to God, the first four commandments. We're done with all of that now. These come first for obvious reasons. But then now when we come to the second tablet with the commandments about our human relationships, we start with our parents at the very head of the list, because that's the most fundamental human relationship that we experience when we're born. We come into this world with parents. And so that is primary and the beginning of all of our relationships in life. So this is very significant. So let's go back to the commandment itself. In verse 12, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Obviously, the whole command comes down to one word, doesn't it? and it's the word honor. So we have to understand what that word means. All kinds of thoughts and ideas come to mind when we think of how to honor someone. But let me tell you that there's a significant nuance to this word in Hebrew that I want to share with you. The form of this word honor in the Hebrew scriptures literally means to make something heavy. This is what it's saying. How do you honor your father and mother? You make them heavy. That's why we give you chocolate. It's going to help with that. So you could translate, treat your parents like they're heavy. Although I'm going to warn you, if you tell your mother she's heavy, you will not live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. She brought you into this world, she can take you out. What does it mean then to make someone heavy? It's referring to someone or something that has a lot of gravity. Something that is valuable. Because in general, things that are heavy are more valuable than things that are not, right? This is paper. It's very light and not worth very much. Would you agree? My wedding band is made out of platinum, which is even heavier than gold. It's a heavy metal. Oftentimes when I'm working, I have to take it off of my finger when I'm typing and set it beside my keyboard because it's so heavy and my finger feels a fatigue. That does not mean anything like what you took it as. My word. I'm just saying that as... I'm not saying that anymore. Let's go back. Have you ever tried to lift a gold bar? I never have, but I'm told they're quite heavy because they're so valuable, right? And that's the idea here. In fact, we have an English expression that I think fits in with this idea. When we say someone is valuable, we say that they are worth more than their weight in. You see the idea? God is saying, treat your parents like treasure. This is what it means. To show them the proper respect and gravity for the position that they occupy in your life. They're that valuable. Treat them like their treasure. They're worth their weight in gold, so to speak. And that's, I think, the spirit of what it means to honor your father and your mother. Now, of course, in this list, we are told that there is a father and mother. That's not true for everyone in life. I know that, but God designed the family to have both. Father comes first in this list because ancient societies and Jewish society was no different. They were typically patriarchal. That doesn't mean that a father is more important than a mother. The order of priority doesn't indicate that. It simply just reminds us of the fact that responsibility and authority lies with him for the well-being of the family. And therefore, both parents are due honor and to be treated as valuable and as worthy of that. It's interesting when you look at the commandments, the Big Ten, that you don't have any commandments about the rest of family life, so to speak. There's no commandment, for example, about your siblings. Reminds me of a Sunday school story. A teacher was teaching this set of commandments to her students. They were like second graders or something, and she's covering the Big Ten with them, and she covers this one. Every child knows this commandment, right? We make sure they don't forget. And so she just raised the question, why is there no commandment for how you should treat your brothers and sisters? Because for little kids, that's a big part of life and a hard part of life sometimes, right? Why is there no commandment for how you should treat your brothers and sisters? And one little boy said, there is, thou shalt not kill. Okay, yes, I think. There's no other commandments for that because here's the deal. If you get that one right, you will treat your siblings right, won't you? You cannot possibly honor your mother and father and dishonor them in the way you treat their other children. And every parent I've ever known hates it when they see their children at odds and fighting and not getting along and not speaking, right? And so if you are honored the way you deserve as a parent, then it shows up in the way siblings treat each other and how they treat grandparents and aunts and uncles and all the family. You get this one right, you get the rest of family life right. Wouldn't you agree? And that's why it's the only one that pertains to that and comes at the head of the list. And so it's a very, very important command. There's a promise associated with it. Let's look at the second half. So we get the command, honor your father and your mother. Now here's the purpose, so that. God is so clear to understand. Do this so that something else will happen. What's the something else? He says to his people, honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now, obviously, we see how unique this promise was then to Israel. Because at the base of Mount Sinai, when they entered into this Mosaic covenant, they were being prepared to go into the promised land. So this pertained to their life in that land, and it was a national corporate promise. Long life in that land. We don't live in that land, right? To my knowledge, no one here comes from the promised land, except, well, actually, I take it back. Texas is also the North American promised land, and I come from there. And I'm sure God would have sent his people there to begin with, you know, had North America existed in their minds. So, anyways. But God says to his people, if you'll honor your parents, I'll reward you with long life in the land I'm sending you to. So there's a unique flavor here for the Jewish people, for Israel. This has always been and always will be their land. But that doesn't so much apply to us, does it? Until we come to the New Testament and see some things there. Nonetheless, we all know that we can honor our parents. We know how to show them honor and respect, I think, right? We can apply that in so many ways, and we'll talk about some of those applications. I've seen great examples in my life in ministry. I think back to when I served in Central Illinois, and there was a sweet elderly lady in her 80s named Julia Decker. Sweet lady. Short. So encouraging. If I recall correctly, her family had donated the land upon which the church building was built, and she had been in that church probably since she was a young child. She'd been there a long, long time. That was her church. She had like 10 kids, some who lived right in that community, some a little further away, some far away. And when Julia got to that point in life, as many elderly people do, where she could no longer drive, her heart's desire was still to come to her church every single Sunday. And I saw her kids honor her as they set up a schedule where about once every 6 or 7 weeks, a different one of them would take turns and bring her to church. So I got to know her kids on that frequent of a basis, because they would come, they would bring Julia. And in some cases, I could tell they had a sincere faith and they were glad to be there themselves. In other cases, they were just doing this purely for mom. But they would honor her that way. And she just loved to be there. And in a small Midwestern church, after the service is over, you're expected to stand at the back so people can come by and shake your hand and tell you something they think you want to hear about the sermon. And so I'm there at the back, and everybody's filing out. And week after week, Julia would come, and she would look at me, and she would always just throw her arms open and hug me and say, "Oh, Reverend Kaufman, that was the best sermon ever." And I knew she wasn't hearing so well, so a couple times I would say, "McKeon Kaufman," I hear the K, I would say, "It's Robert McKeon," because, you know, I don't go with the titles. So I would try to correct her. But week after week after week, "Oh, Reverend Kaufman, that was such a great sermon." I just smile and hug her. And it finally got to me, so I had to go to another elderly lady in the church who'd been there a long time. And I said to her, "Can you tell me something? Who is Reverend Kaufman?" Oh, she got this faraway look and smile. She said, "Oh, Reverend Kaufman. He was our pastor in the 50s. Everybody loved him. Oh, over the lunch hour, he would sit on the steps of the church, and kids would come during summer break, and he would hand out candy and teach them Bible stories, and they just loved to be with him. Oh, Reverend Kaufman." I was like, "All right, I got it. I got it." If I can make you feel like somebody from the past that was awesome to you, I'm in, okay? And every time she called me that, I would just smile and say, "Julia, I'm so thankful that you're here." And they taught me how kids honor their parents throughout life. Let's talk about the New Testament development of this. Let's go to one of the most well-known passages where this is repeated and extended for our sakes, Ephesians chapter 6. If you'll turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6, Paul cites this commandment. We're in a section in the letter to the Ephesians called the Household Codes. That's what scholars call this section. And you're talking about marriage, and then you're talking about children, and then they had servants, and so it was the Roman household. That's the way it was structured. And Paul has things to say about how you live for Christ in your household. And so coming then to the section on parents and children, he begins by addressing children. And I got to tell you, this doesn't just refer to little kids, okay? This is anyone who's still a son or daughter. Because that's how it was in the ancient Roman society. You were in that role until your parents were gone. And so he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, the way the Lord would have you, for the sake of the Lord. Do it as unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then he quotes the fifth commandment, doesn't he? Honor your father and mother. And then he interrupts to point out, which is the first commandment with a promise. And then he requotes, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Did you pick up on the difference? Did you notice the difference? This has become expanded in the New Testament because of Christ and the body of Christ. Did you see that? It's no longer just about the land of Israel. It's about all God's kingdom, the earth and all that is in it. It's universalized. Because Paul is writing to Gentiles who don't live in the promised land, don't aspire to, or right where they belong. And yet Paul is helping them to see God's timeless commandments and truths apply, perhaps in a deeper, even fuller way because of Christ. And so he says, God promises you long life on the earth. I think that's a generic statement, you know, obviously. Because it's not a guarantee that if you honor mom and dad as you should, you're just going to live to be 110 or something like that. I think it shows that God absolutely cares how you treat your parents, that you should show them respect. Because really, if you think about it, the way we show our parents respect is reflective of how we show God respect. Isn't that true? And so God rewards and blesses his people when we do what we're supposed to do. I think there's a practical element to this, isn't there? I mean, in general, if you do what your parents tell you to do, if you follow their advice, their values, etc., life tends to just go better, doesn't it? You tend to stay out of trouble that could cut your life short. You tend to go further because of their help, because of their guidance, and I think there's just a practical element to all of that sort of being surfaced here. So we need to show them honor and respect, and not just on holidays, okay? It doesn't require Father's Day or Mother's Day to do this. This is an everyday, 24-hour-a-day way of life, isn't it? But of course, on those days, we want to go above and beyond. I remember reading one time about a family that wanted to honor their mother. You know, there was a husband and two kids, and so they wanted to cook her favorite meal. So the husband and the two kids all worked together. They were teenagers, and they all worked together on this fabulous meal for her, and then they served her. They presented it. It was fun. It was good. They enjoyed great fellowship. But you know how it is. When the meal's over, somebody has to clean up. And you know what mom did? What moms always do. She got up and went into the kitchen, didn't say a word, just started cleaning, just started taking care of things. And her teenage son happened to walk in there to get something, and he saw her, and he couldn't believe his eyes. And he said, Mom, what are you doing? Don't do that. It's Mother's Day. They can keep until tomorrow. If you say that to your wife or mother, you will not live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. I'm just telling you right now, that's not good. You heard it from an expert. God says, if you look out for your parents, I'll look out for you. I think that's what he's saying. That the way you treat them is reflective of how you see me and treat me, because authority is authority. And sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's really hard. I got to tell you, can I just be honest for a moment and you won't hate me? That's where I would hope you would say yes, okay? Because you didn't say anything, so I don't want to be honest because you're going to hate me. Of all the commandments, this is the one I have dreaded teaching the most. Because I'm such a bad example. For the first 18 years of my life, all I did was disrespect my parents, because that's the way we were just all disrespectful and hateful to each other nonstop, and I just didn't find anything respectable about them, and that's not right. I know that. So I begin with a really bad track record in life, and then I became a follower of Christ, and I understood that's not right, and yet things don't change overnight, do they? They do for some people, they didn't for me, and so I would work hard at it. And you know, my father was an alcoholic, abusive man, and my mother, you may not know, has been a mental health patient for 35 years with schizoaffective disorder, and I've just never known normal relationships with either one of them. And so as I began to follow Christ, I tried to turn as much of that around as I could, and I would serve my dad. I would come home from college, and I would just offer to do work for my dad, because he and I, we clashed over that a lot, because he worked me hard when I was growing up. I would volunteer, and so we did projects, and I'll tell you, it was some of the best times we had, because I now wanted to. I wanted to honor him. I wanted to serve. And now I'm at a point in life where I'm caring for my mother. She's in an assisted living facility here in town, and it's hard. She hates it. And I just find time and time again I have a hard time obeying this commandment. So I look forward to the examples around me of people who show me how to do this right, because I need help. And I want to talk about some points of application. There's some things I think that we can all benefit from and apply no matter where we are in life. Just jot some of these things down. I'll put them back on our Facebook page later today if you don't get them all. The first one is very obvious. Number one, take time to visit or call your parents regularly. You'd be surprised how little effort that takes to make a big difference. Let me tell you somebody who's doing this right and has really set the bar high. Some of you know Richard Lane. He and his wife Kay have been part of CBC for a really long time. He's one of our deacons. It's a delight to see him here through the week doing things that help make our building and ministry better. And not long ago, Richard lost his dad, who lived in this community. And when I heard about that and at an opportunity that I had to speak with him, I said, "How are you doing? And tell me about your dad." And then I asked him, I said, "Did you get a chance to see him very much?" And he told me that for the last 9 years, as his father has lived here, he visited him over the lunch hour every single day. Every day. The occasional trip out of town, of course, would prevent that, but every single day. You know what that says? He knows how to honor his father and his mother. And that was such a touching and a good example for me. I needed to hear that. Number two, learn as much wisdom from your parents as you can. They have a lot of that to give you, to share. I read not long ago in a publication from Focus on the Family that a wise woman was interviewed, and here's the question she was asked: how do you know if you're a good mom? That's a good question. How do you know if you're a good mom? Listen to her answer. "I know I'm a good mom when I'm first a good daughter. Great mothering begins and ends with a daily dependence on the guidance of my Heavenly Father." That's wise, isn't it? Well, your parents have that kind of wisdom to pass on to you if you'll receive it from them. And then thirdly, pass that wisdom on to your kids. One of the things my dad taught me above anything else was that no one will be responsible for you except for you. He taught me how to work. I have to pass that on. Consult your parents on major life decisions. Don't marry someone. Don't buy a house. Don't do anything big without consulting some of the people who know you best in life. Wouldn't you agree? That's how you honor them. Number five, ask your parents for help solving problems. They have done that a lot through life. They'll show you what works and what doesn't. Number six, don't take advantage of your parents' generosity. They want to give you their time and resources and help, but don't abuse it. You've heard it said, according to experts, more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other day of the year, and more collect calls are made on Father's Day than any other day of the year. We have cell phones now, so that joke's just not going to work anymore, is it? But it's true. And you know what? Neither mom or dad minds. Because they give. And they know. They know what they're supposed to do. And that's what makes them so honorable. Number seven, take care of your own family just like they taught you. Honor them that way. Number eight, enjoy your parents even if they get on your nerves. Because it's going to be true of your kids too one day with you. So, number nine, take care of your parents when the time comes. And number 10, follow in their footsteps of faith and character. If my mother has taught me one thing in her life, and I have seen it unfold every day that I've known this about her, it's this: Jesus is everything. By the way, pray for prodigals. There are many parents who long to see their children come back to Christ, come back to them. We can pray for that because that's their heart's desire. So one way kids show their parents love and respect is by making cards for them, right? The best cards you're ever going to get in life are the ones that your kids make for you. You know, they're mostly illegible. They've got hearts all over them and pictures of you that don't look like you, but they are precious, right? Aren't they? They're the best. Here, I'll close with just a few cards that kids have made for Mother's Day. Angie, who's 8 years old, wrote, "Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day. It's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn." Kids just are too excited to keep the surprise. Joey, 8'7", wrote, "I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like the turtle more than the snake I got you last year." That young man's on the right track. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. Billy wrote, "Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday so we wouldn't have to go to school." That's reversed. And finally, little Lucy wrote, "Dear Mother, here are 2 aspirin. Have a happy Mother's Day." That says it all right there. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the perfect Father who shows us what real parenting is like through and through. And that you, Jesus, the Son of God, show us what it's like to obey and honor your Father to the maximum. We give you thanks and we praise you for that. So we pray for your help, Holy Spirit, to obey the word, believing there's a promise coming to us. We pray that you would help us to honor and obey those who've given their lives for our sakes. We pray, Lord, you would take care of our parents, take care of our spouses, take care of our children. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.